Last week, we looked at the Bema throne of Christ, the reward throne. But what would these rewards be? Well, that's what we'll look at this evening. The rewards that the Lord gives to faithful believers are in fact crowns. And in the scriptures in the New Testament, there are five crowns. And we'll look at those five crowns this evening to follow on. For the crown, in fact, is given to believers who have an abiding and remaining faithful work for the Lord and also a developing life in Christ. And if you look with me to begin with, in Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just verse 14. So we're going to look at the five crowns of reward, which will be given to faithful and obedient serving Christians at the Bema throne, at the reward throne of Christ. So first of all, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and one verse, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 14, and I'll read it. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Verse 15 says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire, the discipline of the Lord. For the believer then, who is faithful to the Lord, there are possibility, certainly of at least one, of five crowns. And these crowns are given for faithfulness in the Lord and our growth in him in character-wise and also in our service as well. So these crowns are given as rewards. Now I know we may feel we will cast our crowns before him, and I'm sure we will. So the first one we're going to look at is also in 1 Corinthians. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. It's called an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. I'll read it. 1 Corinthians 9, 25. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. That's like in the Olympic or Greek games. But we for an imperishable crown. Or an incorruptible crown, call it that if you like. An imperishable one, or an incorruptible crown. And it's given to those who are self-controlled and are able to master that old man or the old nature which we have. So it's, if you like, it's an exercise in self-control. And that verse says, every man that strives for the mastery will obtain an incorruptible crown. It's going to last forever. That's very wonderful, isn't it? Now, this is not salvation. He already has that. No, the believer already possesses his salvation, of course. Salvation, anyway, can never be a reward, can it? It can never be earned. It's a free gift of God's grace. The second crown is a crown of rejoicing. Now, that crown of rejoicing is for those who have been a faithful witness in their Christian life, are able to bring point people to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That's our witness. Would you look onwards beyond 1 Corinthians to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? Just let you find it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. A crown of rejoicing. Let's read it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So the crown of rejoicing is for those who have been a faithful witness in the Christian life, being obedient to him, serving him where we're called, in whatever way it is. And that is a crown of rejoicing. Rejoicing that we have been saved, and rejoicing they were with the Lord forever in eternal life. So this was second crown there. As for those who really look for the Lord's coming, our joy, our hope, a crown rejoicing is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus, but at his coming, ready for his coming. That's the second crown. The third crown is the crown of life. Now that's a much more serious one. It's a crown of life for enduring trials. It could even be martyrdom. Now I'd like you to look, please, in three scriptures. Let's go on to James' letter. Go on to James and chapter 1. James chapter 1. Then we look in the book of Revelation. James chapter 1 and looking at verse 12. James chapter 1 verse 12. This is a crown for those who have been faithful to the Lord, enduring trials and even possibly martyrdom. So it's James chapter 1 and verse 12 to begin with. Let's read it. Blessed is the man who endures temptation or trials, for when he has been proved by the Lord, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Enduring trials, whatever those trials may be, or temptations from the enemy, trials set before us sometimes, that person who's been faithful to the Lord and love the Lord will be given that particular crown of life. Well, for some it might indeed be martyrdom or suffering in different ways. Would you go on now to the book of Revelation, please? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And the verse there we want is, well, two verses, 10 and 11. Chapter 2 of Revelation, verses 10 and 11. And this is a message to the persecuted church at Smyrna. You can see that in verse 8 and 9. We want verse 10 and 11. Revelation 2, 10 and 11. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer, as you've been told beforehand. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So it does seem as if it's a martyr's crown, but it can be. Those who've been murdered because they're the Lord's people, by the Lord's enemies and their enemies, that particular crown is the crown for martyrs. Rather serious, isn't it? Go over into chapter 3 with me. Chapter 3 of Revelation and verse 11. Here's the crown also. Here's the crown. Chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Word doesn't mean soon, but it means sudden. Whenever he decides to come, it'll be sudden. May not be soon. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown and snatch it away from you, that you have the right to wear that crown, even in suffering, even in martyrdom. It's a crown of life, because beyond death comes eternal life. Resurrection, that's certainly true. That's a crown of life for enduring trials, even martyrdom. There's a third one. It's a crown of righteousness. Now, would you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the verse we need is verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. It's called the crown of righteousness. Finally, says Paul in his own witness, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, means he's a right rewarder, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So this crown of righteousness, now we do have righteousness. If we're right with Christ and we're saved and we know the Lord, we are right with him. But there's something beyond that. It's a crown of righteousness. It's a crown which is relating to looking for the Christ coming again for the church, loving his appearing. So that's a crown of righteousness for godly living and living in the light of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for the true church. So that's a crown of righteousness for loving his appearing, looking for his coming. So what about those Christians not looking for his coming? No crown. No crown. They're right with God. They got righteousness, but not the crown of righteousness. That's something different. That's the crown of righteousness. That's the fourth one. First one, an incorruptible crown, immortal. Second, the crown of rejoicing. Third, the crown of life for enduring trials, even martyrdom. Fourth one here, a crown of righteousness for loving his appearing. A crown is given for godly living, looking for Christ coming again. And the fifth one is called a crown of glory. That crown of glory, if you look in, go on to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. This is a crown of glory given to those who are willing to feed and teach the Lord's people. 1 Peter 5, 4. This is what it says. You got it? 1 Peter 5, 4. When the chief shepherd, because there are many under shepherds, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. When he appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So we're looking for the chief shepherd when he appears. And if you go back to verse 2 of 1 Peter 5, people who are pastors or leaders or teachers shepherd the flock, Christians, the true church, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, elders, leaders. Not by constraint, not because you're forced to, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, not greedy for money, but eagerly serving the Lord, with or without any financial gain. So that's for the shepherds of the flock, the under-shepherds under the great and chief shepherd. For when the chief shepherd appears, then those who are faithful in teaching the word, faithful pastors, they will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. It's wonderful, isn't it? So there's the five crowns. Now, what about the nature of the crowns? You've got five crowns there. Incorruptible or immortal crown, crown of rejoicing, a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, and the crown of glory for being willing to feed the flock of God. So what about the nature of these crowns? Well, the Greek word for crown is stephanos. Now, you know the plant called Stephanotis, don't you? And it's shaped like a crown, isn't it? Like that. Stephanotis is from that Greek word Stephanos, which means a crown. But it's a perishable crown. There's another word for crown too, and this is one which the Lord wears. It's diademata. We get the word diadem. And it's a word for crown which is worn by royalty, by kings. And that originally goes right back to the Persian times and the scriptures and Israel. And it was this idea of diademata was a badge of royalty fit only for a king. Now, think of that applying spiritually to believers. It's a crown that is given for faithful service for our royalty, our Lord and Savior. And of course, we know at the same time, we're promised that we shall live in the millennium with Christ as kings and priests unto God Revelation 1, I think it's verse 5. So believers will have crowns for being faithful, crowns for enduring trials, crown of rejoicing, looking for the Savior, of course, an incorruptible crown which will never perish, which will last for eternity. And I'm quite sure whichever crown or crowns we wear, we will cast them at the feet of Jesus, for he alone is worthy. We didn't earn any of these things, really. They're gifts because we have new life in Christ and we're changed. So when you think of those crowns, and the Greek word I say for crown is Stephanos, we get Stephanotis from it. And this was a garland only. It was a wreath of victory in, say, Olympic Games or the other Greek games, the Athenian games. And it was a crown or a wreath of victory. Now, you and I will wear a crown which will be like a wreath of victory for overcoming difficulties, obstacles, and our fight in this world, in this body. We have an enemy too. So Stephanos, after, and we get Stephanotis, is a wreath or a garland prize given during the games, like the Greek games. And it symbolized a triumph of winning, a triumph of joy and victory. And as far as a Christian is concerned, wearing this particular, well, any of the crowns, will be given as a reward for different areas of faithfulness. And the crown is one given as a triumph over difficulties. It's a joy of victory in Christ, and will be awarded for, if you like, distinguished service. It was in those days. As we serve the Lord, he sees, the Lord sees our service as being distinguished for him. And he rewards accordingly. That's very encouraging, isn't it, really? So there'll be different crowns for different purposes. We know that. So there's going to be, when we're with the Lord, we should come back with him to reign with him as kings and priests on the millennial earth, 1,000 years. Fancy that, reigning with him for 1,000 years, wonderful. So there's a great honor and dignity for wearing a crown. That's going to be given, of course, for the overcomer as we win through in our Christian life against the difficulties which we face and have to endure. Now, I'd like, if you will, we're going to look in different places in the early chapters of the book of Revelation. So would you go to Revelation, first of all, in chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And these are messages to the seven churches in Asia Minor, as it was Turkey today. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 to begin with. Revelation 2 and verse 7. I'll read it. Revelation 2 and verse 7. This is a message to the church at Ephesus, verse 1. Verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now there's a reward for the overcomer, very clearly. Now verse 11, go down to verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is to the persecuted church, Smyrna. Smyrna is after the word myrrh, meaning suffering. Verse 11, he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Certainly, believers never will be, of course, we know that. Now look in verse 17 of the same chapter, to the church at Pergamos, compromising church. Verse 17. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who received it. There's rewards. Hidden manna, special food from the Lord. A white stone, that's a reward for victory and winning through. Very important. Chapter 2, 17. Go down to verse 26. Verse 26. Because verse 22, or the verse we looked at just then, was, in fact, verse 17, was winning through in a compromising system, a compromising church, and a Christian winning through. That's important. And in verse 26, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, serving the Lord to the end, to him I will give power over the nations as kings, ruling, crowned, ruling as kings over nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, verse 27, as the potter's vessels shall be broken to pieces. As I also received from my Father, I will give him the morning star. There's a reward. I'm not explaining that in verse 28. Go to chapter 3. It's a message to another church. Chapter 3 of Revelation and verse 5. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Now this is to the dead church at Sardis. No life there. But one or two believers there? Yes. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments as a reward. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, because it's there eternally. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The Lord's going to testify to our faithfulness if we endure hard times and overcome the difficulties. Well, you can think about those things in your own time, because it's rather a lot we're looking at, isn't it? Go to chapter 3 and verse 5 and verse 12, verse 21. Look in chapter 3, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, here's a reward, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Wow. Sit right by Christ on his throne and rule with him. Wow, what a reward. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus is on his Father's throne now, but he's coming back to sit on his own. Where is that? Jerusalem. He's going to be king of Israel in Jerusalem. And you're going to sit there with him. Wow. Fancy sitting on the same throne as Jesus. Well, that's a reward, if you like. Isn't that amazing? Now, one more chapter, 12. Go to chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 12. Yet about believers in hard times. Chapter 12, verse 11. Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to their death. Wow. But look back in verse 10. Look at verse 10, chapter 12, verse 10. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, second coming. For the accuser of our brethren who accused him before our God day and night has been cast down. He's going to be in the pit. That's where he ought to be. Well, that's remarkable, isn't it? And even the elders, what were in Revelation? Would you go back to chapter 4? Chapter 4. Here we've got the 24 elders, chapter 4 and verse 4. Revelation 4 and verse 4. Around the throne, that's the Lord's throne, were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes and their crowns of gold on their heads. How about that? The 24 elders. Now, who are they? Could it, in a symbolic way, represent the whole church? Well, maybe. Could be. Could be that. 24 elders. Look in verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Worshipping the Lord, casting their crowns before his throne, And that would represent, no doubt, the whole church as well, not just the leadership. So it's rather wonderful that, isn't it? They wore crowns of gold. Now, the crowns of gold, well, there's another one. You had an incorruptible crown, a crown of rejoicing, a crown of life, a crown of righteousness. Now, here we have this wonderful crown of glory as well. Well, what a thing. Now, there's another word for crown. We come towards an end. There's another word for crown, and that is the word diademata. We get the word with diadem. We know that. So Stephanas is the garland of victory which we wear for winning through. But diademata is the crown of kingship which Christ alone can wear. That's in Revelation 19, verse 12, if you're still in Revelation. Go to 19, please. You'll find it there in verse 12 of chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 12. This is a description of the Lord in the second coming on the white horse. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Verse 13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, so we know who he is. But he himself wore many crowns. He's won through and earned many crowns himself in his humanity. That we do know. So that crown there that he's wearing, eyes like flames of fire, and his head with many crowns, this is a wonderful sign of his overall kingship and ruling in every sphere of life. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. That's our coming one. Everything we have, if we have a crown, we shall cast it before him in the first place. Even those who have victory, overcoming, casting our crowns before his feet in worship, praise and thanksgiving, gratitude for our salvation. Believers have been redeemed, so they may bring glory to his name. We can glorify Christ in our human body. Glorify Christ in your body, as the Apostle Paul tells us. So we can worship him in spirit and in truth. And we should cast all our crowns before his feet in gratitude and worship. So we redeemed. Whatever rewards we have from the Lord for our faithful growth in Christ, our faithful witness, whatever it is, we know we're redeemed and we should cast our crowns before him. We're redeemed that we may bring glory to his name. We don't have any. We don't earn it. It's a free gift, God's free gift of salvation and belonging as sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. God is our Father. Think of the particular greatness of that. The greater the reward. As Christians may have more than one crown, I don't know. The greater the reward, there's the greater capacity to glorify Christ in our human body while we're still here. Now, the crowns, of course, are not given down here. The crowns are given when we meet him at his reward throne, the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, where we were last week. So how many crowns we wear? Well, that depends on what he gives to us and how we are. Well, if you like, it's only a garland, really. And garlands in games already, they perished. But what we wear will never perish. Wonderful. So we, you and I, as believers, have the capacity to radiate in our personality, our spiritual personality in the body, to glorify Christ and radiate Christ's life in us. For we have certain elements of Christ's own life. We have grace. We have patience. We have wisdom, if we call for it. We have love from him. We have mercy we can show to others, expressing the very life of Christ, for we are Christ ones. That's how we should be. So the Lord does reward for faithfulness. And the greater the reward means the greater capacity to glorify him and cast our crowns before him. It will be Christ who will be glorified. Wonderful thing is that the believer will one day wear the crowns, maybe more than one, but we cast them at his feet. So maybe in this life, we radiate the life of Christ to those around us. We may shine for Jesus while we can down here. Lord, help us to increase the capacity to glorify you and live for you down here in our bodies, in our earthly life as Christian believers. May the Lord bless us and encourage us to walk with him in the light of the truth of his word. And maybe one day the Lord will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That'll be a reward in itself, won't it? Amen.